Happy Monday. Brady Bowman with you. And now in studio, we have Mike and Lisa Urban of Flint Hills Foster Team Camp. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday. The week starts.
Yes, it does.
Hope you had a good weekend.
We did. Beautiful weather.
Oh, it was great.
It was great.
I heard it was pretty great. Mm-hmm. I got to enjoy a little bit Sunday when some of my higher-end allergy pills started taking effect. Friday and Saturday was a little rough, but we made it through. So Flint Hills Foster Team, it's getting towards, you know, with that weather, it's getting towards kind of camp season.
It is. We're less than a month away from our first camp.
Less than a month away.
Yes. It starts the 4th of June.
Well, real quick, I guess, for any of our listeners who may be new and wondering, you know, what is Flint Hills Foster Team Camp? Just a little bit of a background, whoever wants to go ahead.
Lisa, go ahead. Oh, answer that.
Well, Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps, we've been doing this now 9 years. We have camps for the teens that are in foster care that have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. We have 5 of those camps that we're offering this summer for ages 12 to 15 and 16 to 18. And then we have a third program called Homes of Hope for the teenagers that are actually aging out of the foster care system, ages 18 to 20. We provide a place for them to live and help them learn some life skills, further their education, create, you know, job skills and all the different things that a lot of us take for granted daily, and help them get on their feet so they can move on and be productive citizens in our society.
And you've been doing it since 2009.
Yes, we have.
And just an incredible organization and mission and making so many great differences in this region. When I look into what your organization has done and hear both of you talk about it, it's always great to hear, because you look at in the headlines, sometimes you look at the news, and sometimes there's just not a lot of good, positive, heartwarming stories that make you believe in humanity. But then I hear you guys talk, and I'm like, okay, we do have some hope out there. Just real quick, what compelled you to get involved in this and to start this up?
Well, that's my cue.
That's your cue. Yep, she pointed at you.
Yes.
Yep.
Gosh, we've had just a heart and a passion for young people, and kind of how this journey started is when we moved back to the area, we wanted to work with, back then, what we would call at-risk youth. And there was an organization that was doing some work out there with foster kids that have been using the campsite that we live on for about 20 years. And there was a need to be working with foster teens. And so we kind of researched that and worked with an organization out of Oregon for about 4 years, I believe. And it was just strictly from 12 to 15-year-old teens, foster teens. And we quickly saw that we needed to do something for the 16 to 18 and the 18 to 20. So we took a risk and launched out on our own and developed Flint Hills Foster Teen Camps. And as of last year, we worked with over 300 foster teens that have been just through just awful, awful things in their life. And it has become our greatest passion, for sure.
That's right.
And focusing on teens, I'm sure that was important for you, because I don't know all the statistics right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure when it comes to the foster population, as far as a neglected population within foster kids, it probably usually is teens that are probably neglected as far as not having places to go, maybe at a higher percentage than others.
The teens definitely have more trouble in the foster care system, because if you've been around teenagers, they think differently, they perceive things differently, they act differently. A lot of teens, you know, think they have all the answers. And so to be in foster care in a foster home with teenagers is a huge challenge, because you butt heads a lot with them. And so most teens in the foster care system average 2 homes a year being moved around, which also means possibly 2 different schools a year. So they just continue to struggle, and a lot of them fall behind. They can't stay up academically. They can't stay up in maturity. And so it is. Teens are really in that even higher risk, I would say, that's my opinion, than younger kids in the foster care system that are still being, you know, molded and being able to be taught and trained and brought up. So, yeah, they are at a higher risk of definitely falling through the cracks and just not, you know, not having a good life.
Freddie Bowman here with Mike and Lisa Irvin of Flint Hills Foster Team Camp, or Team Camp, and taking the camp approach, what was it? What was the motivation there as far as taking a camp approach as a way to kind of reach out and help these kids?
Well, I mean, how many people go to some kind of a summer camp? And, I mean, our facility was great. It's set up. It was, 42 years ago now. Living Water Ranch is where we are at. And so that so much was already set up and done to where we could do that right there. And the other organization is kind of a camp setting, which is great. So we just looked at that and modified that and says, what can we do to offer these kids, these teens, 3 or 4 of the best days of their life? So we do all the camp fun things. You know, it's all part of it. The food, the swimming, the hiking, and then all the volunteers that come to spend to play games or other stuff like that. But what really sets it apart or makes it different than regular camps is our challenge course. We developed a challenge course that strictly is geared towards it's kind of a strength. It's not a strength and agility course. It's a trust and team building course. So there's we frame up each one of the elements in such a way to where we allow the teens to start talking and really start to tell their story.
Start the healing process.
It really does, because we've learned that these teens, they want to be heard, but they want to be heard, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, they're locked up pretty tight at first. But on the challenge course, a lot of that stuff starts to come out. And we ask some pretty straight questions. We're raw and real. And that's what we tell them. We tell our staff that. It's raw and real at camp. And you ask some real straight questions to these foster teens that have been through just all kinds of stuff in their life that nobody should have to go through, especially as a young person. Be prepared for the answer, because they're going to get raw and real right back with you. And it's just been an amazing journey.
We want them to realize these kids, these teens, feel like their future has been taken from them. You know, there's a whole other flip side of foster care. Yes, you get them out of the abuse, the neglect, but then they're thrown into a whole different place. They know nobody. They're taken out of their home. They're taken away from their friends. They're taken away from their families. And so that's the part that is so hard for them to handle. So the goal at our camps is to give these kids hope and help them realize they can take their futures back, that their past does not have to define them. And it's such a amazing thing to see that transformation when they finally get it, that this isn't who I am, this is just what's happening to me. And it doesn't define who I am. And it's just an amazing transformation to see these kids get it.
I'm sure it's something that you witness quite a bit, especially when you hear these kids' stories and you talk about that getting it and looking at it as not being defined by these experiences, but they just happen to me. I'm sure sometimes along those lines, there's a lot like self-blame, that they almost maybe blame themselves
always,
for being in the situation
definitely.
That they're in, when it's not the case.
Unfortunately, most abusers tell them it's their fault. I am raping you because it's your fault you did something. I am beating you because you did something wrong. It's your fault. If you didn't mess up, I wouldn't have to do this. They tell them that.
Or I'm going to lock you into a room and not feed you for 3 or 4 days. Because we had a family of teens that were there just last year at camp that were locked in a room in a house, and the parents left and went on vacation for 3 days.
Wow.
And the neighbors actually started seeing something a little suspicious. So they called the law enforcement. They came in and said, oh my gosh, you've got 3 teenagers locked into a room. And, I mean, not be fed, and you can imagine everything. And so finally, they were taken out of that situation, and then that's what put them into foster care. And thankfully that there was a family that was kind-hearted enough to take all of them together as siblings, which happens very rarely with teens. So, yeah, it's these kids have been through a lot of stuff. Yeah. Very traumatic.
Very traumatic.
Some of the issues. We've had kids come to camp that still have bruises. We had a young man come to camp and had him more than once that actually has to wear a diaper at a teen because of the sexual abuse that was done to him when he was a small baby. He can't control his bowels. And this kid at camp last year, we just asked him a question, says, how are you now? How are you today? And he just looked, and I mean, everybody that was there could testify to this. He goes, I'm happy. It floored me. I said, how can you be happy? He goes, I've had some of the best days of my life. And that was only day two.
That's, I don't even know what to say. And that's just a sample. That's just one of many stories that's you hear every year.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, and kind of going with that, and kind of what helps support the work you guys are doing, not too long ago, you had your 8th annual Evening of Hope. And from what I understand, it was a great evening and very successful.
Huge success, yes. We had about 180 people come, and we raised over $54,000 that night. And that was without the generous match at 50% from the Phil Howe Family Foundation. So we were definitely pleased.
Yeah.
It's been, just grows every year. And we are just so blessed to be in a community that is so giving and understands that this is in their backyard. These kids are their neighbors and down the street, and they see these kids. We have over 80, 90 volunteers that help us each year. And we hear over and over, these kids, I saw them at Walmart, I saw them at Dairy Queen, I saw them wherever. They're in our backyard. Yes, they're right here. And so to have this community just support us has just been overwhelming. It's just been an amazing, amazing ride, hasn't it?
Yes, it
has. Because that's how it works. As far as there's no charge to the kids that go into these camps, so, and it's possible by things like Evening
Yes,
Hope.
Yes.
We raise all the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Evening of Hope was definitely our biggest one. We had a man, his wife, that were actually last year at camp. They came to volunteer to be coaches that we call, most camps call them counselors, but they came to be coaches. That's what we call them at our camp. And she was at the girls' camp and he was at the boys' camp. And he goes, you know, I want to do something more. So he started the fundraiser, and it's our softball tournament. Last year was a big one.
It was the first year.
First one ever, mm-hmm. and it raised over $10,000. And that was Kyle and Mallory Powers did that, and that was just an incredible event as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just truly humbled and beyond words of the way people are supporting and just saying, hey, let us help make a difference.
Because we found that we can't charge these foster families to bring the kids because the foster families are struggling enough just to support them. Yes, they get paid to have the kids, but it's still just something that we want to do. We want the kids to be able to come and have a good time and not have that burden on the foster parents to try and pay for anything. So we raise all the funds for all the programs. Mm. Yeah.
And it takes more than just those fundraisers.
I mean, yes.
Just like our Homes of Hope, the girls' home that's being built right now, the people that have come alongside to help make that possible is just... It's I don't even know how to put it to words. I mean, Elite Concrete, they're doing all the work. MCM, they're helping with the concrete. Coldy Construction's been out there. Cameron Tross, the architect that designed this, and we've had to change the design about 3 or 4 times, and bless his heart, he just continues to do that, and it's just been... I mean, that's in itself about a $400,000 project for just that house. But it'll house 8 girls at a time. And just think of the impact that can be made if you pull these girls off the streets or out of horrible situations that have nowhere to go. And if they're in our program for six months to a year, kind of depending on what their needs are, and they leave with the life skills they need to go on and be productive in our society, just think about the next 8 girls. And it just goes on and on. And then if we can stop the cycle of abuse in one young person's life, just the ripple effect of that is huge. And what can go on from there?
Let's go ahead and take a break and talk more about Homes for Hope when we come back on the other side. We're with Mike and Lisa Urban of Flint Hills Foster Teen Camp here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.